A deal at the last minute.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The long-standing back and forth between Russia's gas giant Gazprom and Belarus has ended. The two countries signed an agreement just hours before their deadline. Russia had threatened to cut off supplies, which would have affected some other European countries. Under the new agreement, Belarus will pay $100 per 1,000 cubic meters in 2007. That's less than what Russia's Gazprom was asking for, but still much more than the $47 Belarus was paying until now. The contract also locks Belarus into agreeing to pay increasing prices over the next 4 years. Last night, a lot of white confetti in New York City in a celebration of the new year. Today, a new green buildings law goes into effect there. Supporters are hoping it will inspire green construction all over the country. Sarah Gardner has more from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
New York's not the only city to pass a green buildings law, but it's the biggest and potentially the most influential. Under the new rules, most city-funded construction must meet an eco-friendly standard set by the U.S. Green Buildings Council. The mandate will affect about $12 billion of construction over the next 10 years. Supporters contend it will cut New York's energy costs and improve indoor air quality. They also hope it will inspire more private developers in the Big Apple to go green. But the Building Council's Michelle Moore contends private builders in the city are already on board.
Projects like the Hearst Tower, Seven World Trade Center, and 50 other buildings that are currently registered or certified in the city of New York, they're paving the way for the whole of the marketplace to follow.
Not to mention the eco-friendly Bank of America Tower under construction in Midtown Manhattan. Moore says that billion-dollar skyscraper could end up one of the greenest buildings in the world. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
If you read the Wall Street Journal, you may notice a few changes on Tuesday when you pick up your copy. The most obvious is size. The paper's losing 3 inches of width to save around $18 million in newsprint costs. But as Elisa Roth reports, that's not all.
The smaller format will mean about 10% less space for print stories, though that shift will be offset by putting some tables on the web. The new print edition will focus more on analysis and exclusive stories. It'll leave breaking news to the internet, where it can be updated frequently. Journalism professor Phil Meyer is author of the book The Vanishing Newspaper, Saving Journalism in the Information Age.
Newspapers have to figure out how to use the web, putting the analysis in print so you can read it at your leisure. And having the fast-breaking stuff on the web makes sense to me.
Newspapers are also trying to find ways to stay profitable. Meyer says the journal's redesign seems like a good start.
Nobody knows the smart way to do it, so it's important to try lots of different things.
And the changes mean readers can save a little money, too. Both the print and online editions will be free tomorrow. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Well, the last business day of the year wasn't a good one for the market, but overall, the Dow was up 16% in 2006. On Friday, the Dow slipped 38 points, closing at 12,463. The Nasdaq fell 10 points to 2415, and the S&P dropped 6 points at 1418. The market's closed today for the New Year's holiday, and the NYSE joined Nasdaq in deciding to close tomorrow. This is Marketplace. On this New Year's Day, The Job Files introduces us to a burlesque dancer.
The Pontani Sisters!
My name is Angie Pontani. I'm 30 years old, and I am the chairman of the board of the world-famous Pontani Sisters. For me, it's just purely about the entertainment. It's an excuse to wear this outrageous costume. I mean, we do a tap dance to Conway Twitty's version of Danny Boy with 2-foot-tall four-leaf clover headdresses. They have a lot of costumes, and the materials are pretty expensive, but I make them all so that cuts back on a lot of costs. What I love most about the job is the other people that I get to work with, other performers. I mean, tonight we did a show with an 8-foot-tall blue bunny. Who does that? Not a lot of people.
Today's Job Files was produced by Sally Herships. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. When it comes to finding love online, sometimes it pays to be specific. Looking for a Jewish mate? Try JDate. Maybe you'd like to meet a fellow dog lover. check out datemypet.com. Whether you're a vegan, an Ivy League grad, or an activist, a dating service is out there for you. So it should come as no surprise that Wall Street has a site all its own. Marketplace's Amy Scott checked it out.
It takes a certain kind of guy to do what Mike Ball does all day. He sits in a San Francisco office, staring at an array of flat-screen panels, betting thousands of dollars on tiny fluctuations in the derivatives markets.
And it looks like I have a really good chance of losing right now.
Ball is one of a breed of adrenaline-fueled, often fabulously wealthy, and usually male, traders. So when he heard about Trader Dater, an online dating site, he gave it a shot.
I was really hoping to meet someone who could identify with what it is that I'm doing.
As the site declares on its homepage, Trader Dater was built exclusively for women interested in meeting professional traders, and it's run by the publishers of Trader Monthly. Users are asked to list their personal assets. Instead of a mugshot on his profile, one trader shows a picture of his private jet.
No, he does not. That's so lame.
Amy Richardson has not been impressed by her experience on Trader Dater. She works in retail in Chicago and says she posted a profile as a joke.
They're this weird mix of the sort of macho, very competitive scene, sort of mixed with the whole metrosexual, who's got better jeans on, you know, who paid the most for their shoes. And to hear them talk about the way they talk about girls, just forget it. No way. No thanks.
Mike Ball, the derivatives trader, knows exactly what she's talking about.
At one of the hip and trendy restaurants, you'll have this group of guys that are paying for drinks for the entire bar or whatnot, and definitely a certain type of female is going to go after that.
What type of female? A survey of Trader Dater's profiles gives you a sense. Many of them read like any other personal ads. For those really serious about finding love, Trader Dater sends them to a person known as Wall Street's matchmaker.
The goal is to get you down the aisle.
At a restaurant on Manhattan's Upper East Side, Janice Spindell chats on her cell phone with a client. She claims to have set up 758 marriages in the last 12 years, and she charges her male clients as much as $100,000 to do it.
They just get what they want. They're used to getting what they want. If they get deals and if they close deals left and right, they want their women to sort of be the same way.
And don't think Spindell has any shortage of women to set them up with. Hundreds of them from all over the country pay anywhere from $0 to $1,000 for a spot in Spindell's Rolodex. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
If you're pretty busy, maybe due to all the dating, you can take us with you. We're podcasting. Check out our website. It's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Happy New Year.
American Public Media.
There's an etiquette guy that says couples.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.